Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will commence from 7 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. The topic heading that we have assigned to this sukkah in our Gemara markings, you'll notice in the outside margin from time to time, comments under the title Nosei, meaning topic, and at times when geometric forms appear, we will add something called Mivneh, a structural note. In this case, our Nosei says, Shi'ur Orech Hasakin, the necessary length of a Shechita knife, the Shechita B'Hilocha B'li Hava. With regard to the cutting motion, a shechita motion, a slicing action, where the knife is drawn only in one direction, without the standard back and forth slicing action. Our Mishnah had said, and you can see this 7 lines from the top of Lamed Aleph, where we have a quote from the Mishnah, after the two dots, you notice, Hayashoychet v'hitiz, he was doing a cutting shechita action, and he cut the entire required amount. We are in fear that maybe there was a downward motion, a downward pressure motion, which would create a drossa problem. So we are told, im yesh besakin molot savor kshera, if the knife has a length equivalent to the width of the animal's neck, then it is okay. Then there is enough, we'll say, blade length that will cut the throat organs without exerting downward pressure. The Mishnah uses this term, molo tzavor. Regarding that, how much is that? Omar Rebbe Zera, molo tzavor v'chutz latzavor. Rabbi Zera tells us that the knife has to have a length in addition to a neck width of knife length. There has to be an additional amount outside of that. Ibaya laho. Now the Gemara wants to understand Rabbi Zera's comment. He said that the knife has to have a neck width. There has to be a neck width of knife plus something more outside of the neck. So here the Gemara asks a question that has two sides to it. We call it Aleph, and then O Dilma Beis. The O Dilma, you'll notice, is squiggled line on the next line, followed by a Beis. The two sides of the question are as follows. Melo tzavor v'chutz letzavor kimelo tzavor, dehavu lo trei tzavori. When Rabbi Zera mentions that there must be something of knife outside the neck, does that mean an additional neck width of knife beyond the amount of knife that already covers the neck, which would then be an equivalent of two neck widths? However wide the animal's neck is, you would have to have two of those widths in the knife. Oy Dilma, or maybe what Rabbi Zera is saying, Molo Tzavor V'chutz L'Tzavor Mashihu, that the total length of the knife must be the width of the neck plus a small amount beyond that, and that's it. Two sides of the question. Now the Gemara tries to resolve this. Toshma hoya shochet vihitiz shnei roshin bevasachas. A person was involved with shechita, and he cut the necks of two behemoths that were lying next to each other. We should also point out that this is a quote from our Mishnah. So he was shechting and cut two necks in one shot. Im yesh l'sakin melo tzavor echod kosher. If the knife has a length that's the equivalent of one neck, it's a good shechita. My malot savor echad. What is meant in the Mishnah when describing the shechting of two animals lying next to each other? What is meant by the term that the malot savor echad, that the knife has to have one neck length, one neck width in length? E lema, if you are to suggest malot savor echad v'sulo, that the total length of this knife being used to cut two animals is just one neck width in length, and that's it. That can't be. Why not? Mind you, with regard to the shechting of one animal, you have to have a knife that has more than one neck width in length to it. Could it possibly be that when you're shechting two animals that you can have even less in length of knife? Namely, the less would be just one neck width in length, and that's it. Ella pshita, rather it must be malot savor that was spoken about in the case of shechting two animals is chutz l'shnei tzavorim. In addition to the required length of knife having two neck widths in it when shechting two animals, that would mean one neck width per animal. In addition to that, we want to have another full neck width. So shma mino, when we speak about the amount of knife extending beyond the neck width of the animal being shechted, we refer to malot savor chutz latzavor, an entire neck width of knife beyond the neck of the animal as well. Shma mino. And this answer then would conform to, if you go back to the two sides of the question that we asked above, where we featured the Aleph and squiggle underlined O Dilma Beis, we would be answering like the Aleph side of the question. We should note, even though we should have probably mentioned this at the beginning of today's shiur, that you should have on hand the book of illustrations known as Sichas Chulin. For many of these sugyas, you'll find illustrations that help understand these sugyas, these cases. As our Gemara goes on, we see a quote from the Mishnah, Bamed v'mamurim, Bezman shehoilich v'lo hevi. The Mishnah tells us that when is it that we have these knife length requirements? That is when you are planning to do only one-directional slicing action of the knife. Aval im hoylich vehevi. If, however, you are going to do a back and forth motion, then the Mishnah tells us that even an ismel, which is a very small type of knife, afilu beismel kshera. Omar of Menashe, beismel she'ein lo karnayim. This must be a knife, a small knife, a blade that has no additional protrusions to it. The fear is that a knife that has points protruding from it, called karnayim, that when you're moving the knife in the direction of the animal's neck, the horns or the karnayim, as they're called, might puncture the neck organs, which would render the shechita unfit. Amarle Rav Acha Braid Rav Avila Rav Menashe Machato Mai. What about using a machato, a translated often as a needle, for shchita? Amarle Machato Mivza Boza, a needle. If you were, let us say, using a needle to slice open the neck, it would actually puncture, and that does not constitute a good shechita. Now the Gemara asks, "Machto de ushkefi mai?" This is a vessel that is it seems to have a flat tip to it. In other words, where a needle would have a point, this machto de ushkefi has a flat edge to it. It's of course something that's very small. But nevertheless, it's not, it wouldn't puncture per se. Omalei, so the Rav Menashe was asked the question, so he answers, Tanina, we have a Tanaic source that would answer it. It says, Afilu kolshehu, a knife, even if it's a kolshehu in size, my lav, what is referred to by the kolshehu, machto de ushkepi, even this kind of very small edged knife. Loi. The Gemara says, no, that's not what's intended, but rather Ismael. The Gemara asks, if you want to tell us that the Mishnah, when it says Afilu Kolshehu, is a reference to Ismael, but Ismael Behedya Kotoni Lo. The term Ismael appears explicitly in the Mishnah. So once you have that explicit, why do I need an additional comment to serve as a reference to it? The Gemara answers, Pirushe Ko Meforesh. The structure of the Mishnah that you'll notice toward the end of Lamed Omid Beis, where it had said, if you're doing a back and forth motion, then even Kolshu is good, and then it says, Afilu Bi Ismael, when it says in the Mishnah, Afilu Kolshu, the Mishnah explains itself by saying that the Kolshu is a reference to the Ismael. That's my Kolshu. What is meant by Kolshu of the Mishnah? Ismael. Hachi Nami Mistabra. It's most likely that the Ismael is being referred to. The Isakadaitoch Mash Machto de Ushkefi, if you were to think that the Mishnah is going to accept even this, which seems to be even a less significant type of cutting device, then Hashto Machto de Ushkefi Sharia, once you're accepting that, Ismael Mibaya, Ismael is a full fledged knife, though maybe small in size, but it would be a more obviously allowed thing. So that if you're allowing the less obvious, the machto de ushkefi, then I wouldn't need the Mishnah to make any reference to Ismael. It would be so obvious. The Gemara says no. Really, the Mishnah will allow the machto de ushkefi, and you'll ask them, why do you have to reference the Ismael at all? Ismael, it's the richole. There's a necessity in teaching the acceptability of Ismael. Salkadaito chamina, without the Mishnah teaching me about the acceptability of the Ismael, I would have thought, ligzer Ismael she'en lo karnayim, otu Ismael she'yesh lo karnayim. Let us not allow the use of any Ismael vessel, any Ismael knife, in anticipation of if we would allow one without the karnayim. We described them before as protrusions, little needles or points that protrude from the stand, from the Ismael, and many Ismaels have that, so that there would be grounds for thinking, don't allow the use of an Ismael without karnayim in anticipation of someone then using one with the karnayim. Komasha Malon, the Mishnah therefore is telling us that an Ismael, provided it doesn't have karnayim, is also okay, even though there may have been room for banning it. But all in all, one cannot say, like was claimed, where we dashed, underlined a few lines up, that Hochi Nami Mistabro, that the Machto de Ushkefi is excluded, not so. It could be that when the Mishnah refers to Kolshehu, it in fact is including the Machto de Ushkefi. And if that be the case, you would have asked, why do I have to tell you about Ismael? So that has a separate value, that in Ismael, where I might have thought, there's room to ban it because of those that have karnayim, we're telling you that an Ismael without karnayim is also okay. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nofla sakin v'shochta, a knife fell off a table or fell out of one's hands, and it cut a behema, and what resulted was a shechita. We'll call it a physically proper shechita. So the Mishnah tells us that apal pisha shochta kedarka, even though the falling of the knife in effect created a normal type shechita, it's not acceptable. Psula shenemar v'zovachta v'yochalta. The pasuk indicates v'zovachta v'yochalta, telling me mashatozovach ato ochel, that which you slaughter. In other words, there has to be human force that as opposed to gravity, which is the force in the case of Nofla. And if you're lacking what's called Koyach Gavra, then there is no Shrita. So now the Gemara points out and makes an inference that leads us up to a sugya that we've entitled here under our Nosei heading in the outside margin, Dea, an opinion, Shelo Bo'inon Kavona B'Shchita, that intent is not required when doing Shchita. So the Gemara makes an inference, Taima D'Nofla, why is it possible? And we should point out ahead of time, in anticipation of the flow of the Gemara later, that the speaker right now is Rava. Rava is the speaker of this opening piece of Gemara. So Rava tells us that the problem of the Mishnah is as stated. The knife fell. Ha hipila hu. However, if the person threw the knife, he threw the knife in a downward motion, let us say, or not necessarily downward, but he threw the knife. Hipila is a verb form indicating active involvement. So if he threw the knife and it ended up shechting, kshera, the shechita is good, the afagav de lo michvin, even though the one throwing the knife had no intention of the knife shechting an animal. He may have intended to throw the knife and have it caught in a wall. But nevertheless, we're inferring from the Mishnah that if you have human involvement as opposed to gravity, the shechita will be good. Man tana de lo bo'inon kavona l'shechita. Who is the tana that does not require intent for shechita? Amar Rava, Rabbi Nosson hi. This is in accordance, Rabbi Nosson, the Toni Oshaya Zira de Min Chavraya. Oshaya Zira teaches the following source. Zorak sakin lenoatza b'koysel. A person threw a knife with the intent for it to get wedged into a wall. V'holcha v'shochta kedarka. And in flight, it went and the knife went and cut a behemoth's throat, an animal's throat, in a shechita fashion. Rabbi Nosson machshir v'chachamim poyslim. Rabbi Nosson says this is acceptable. And you notice here, there was no shechita intent during at the throwing. Hu toni la v'hu omar la. Oshaya Zira teaches this source, and he also says on his own, the teaching of the source was something that he had received in a tradition. What he continues to say, though, is something he says on his own, halacha k'Rebbi Nosson. That the halacha follows Rabbi Nosson, who allows, who accepts such a shechita. The Gemara now asks, regarding Rava, why was it necessary for Rava to draw the inference from our Mishnah and to conclude that we have a Stam Mishnah, in other words, the inference from our Mishnah, which is a nameless Mishnah, is in accordance with Rabbi Nosson and concluding that you don't have to have Kavona, when Rava did all of this elsewhere? And we have a question. We've considered this a long, we've used a long question marking, even though it's only four lines. V'ha omra Rava chada zimna. Rava has already stated this on another occasion, this nan. V'kulon sheshachtu. The kulon is a pronoun referring to all of them, the cheresh shoyte v'katan. These are incompetents. That these incompetents, the deaf mute, the fool, or the minor, sheshachtu, that did a shechita action, va'achirim royin oisan, and others witness it, watch it, supervise it, shechitasun kshera, their shechita is acceptable. V'amrina mantana de laboy kavana l'shechita, and the question was raised, who is the Tanaic authority that does not insist on having intent for shechita? Now these people, these incompetents, are not capable of intent. They are capable of action, as they are human beings, but intent, which is a mental activity, if you will, mental thought, they are incapable of it, and yet the shechita is okay. The Omar Rava Rabbi Nosson Hi, the author of such an idea, allowing for shechita without intent, That's Rabbi Nosson. So we see that Rava already tells us this principle from the Mishnah featuring the Chayri Shait V'Kotten from Daf Beis. Why is it necessary for Rava to open up our Gemara with an inference concerning our Mishnah coming to the same conclusion? The Gemara says, Sricha, I need both of these Rava analyses. The Iyashmin and Hossam, had we had just the case of the Chirish Shaita V'Katan, Mishum deko mechavein l'shum chaticha ba'olam, because there was an intent for cutting, although they don't have the capacity of intent for performing shechita, but they had an intent for some cutting action. Avol hacha, where the person threw the knife to get it wedged into a wall, de lo ko mechavein, where there was no cutting action whatsoever, emo lo, maybe it wouldn't be good. Maybe that would lack, since it's lacking all kavona whatsoever, maybe it's no good. The Ashmin and Hocha, and if you would tell me the case of the Hipil, I would tell you that Hipil Hu is Kshera Mishum de Kaasi Mikoyach Ben Das, because it's coming from a person who is capable, who has capacity, mental capacity. That even though he doesn't have cutting intent, nevertheless, who is throwing the knife? A Ben Das. Avol Hasam, the Mishnah featuring the Chereshet of a Cotton, the Lo Kaasi Mikoyach Ben Das, where the knife movement was not coming from someone who is mentally capable, aim low. Maybe that is a worse situation and would be unacceptable. Sricha, therefore I need Rava to comment regarding that Mishnah as well, to tell me that it's in accordance with Rabbi Nosson, who does not require intent for Shechita. Before going on in the Gemara, let's just glance at our topic heading. Tevilas Nida Lelo Kavana, we will see one point mentioned concerning the immersion of a Nida. This is a woman who needs to achieve Tahara after completing her Nida period. She immerses in a purification source without Kavana, without intent. The immersion is lacking the intent to achieve Tahara. Well, so we'll see about that. And another issue that will come up is Tvila Lechulin Lo Boi Kavona. Immersion for the sake of Chulin. Chulin as opposed to Kochim. Tvila for the mundane. If, let us say, Chulin became Tomei and you want to metair it, there we will see an opinion that says that you do not have to have intent. Now, the Gemara. Itmar, Nida Shenensa Vitovla. What exactly is meant or described by Nensa? The Gemara itself will ask that question. It'll ask, what is this talking about? But it certainly involves some type of tevila without intent. So, Nida Shenensa Vitovla, Amar Vira Marav, Tahiro Lebesa, Vyasur Lecho Betruma. He mentions 2 points. One is that she is muteris to her husband. She's allowed to be in intimacy with her husband, whereas as a nida, she was forbidden. The tevila, ba'oines, this unintentional type tevila, is sufficient for allowing her to be with her husband. However, she remains banned from eating truma. If she was, let us say, married to a kohen, or she's a woman from a kohen family, the Kohanim are entitled to eat Truma, though she, who was in a state of Tumas Nida, she doesn't get out of that state with this kind of immersion. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Af Lebeisa Loi Toi, Rabbi Yochanan is more restrictive than Rav, and says that even for her husband, a Tvila Ba'oines is not effective in allowing her. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, L'Rav di Omar Tahiro Lebesa V'Asur Lecho B'Truma. According to Rav, who makes a distinction, who says that she is that this lacking type of immersion, this Tvila Ba'ines, is effective for allowing her to be with her husband, and not allowing her to eat truma, there is a logical problem here, and it's as follows: Avoin kores hutra isor misa mibaya. We spoke about her intimacy with husband and truma. The level of severity of intimacy done under forbidden circumstances is a greater offense, is a more severe violation than the eating of truma in a state of tuma. And that's what the Gemara means when it says avon kores, the sin involving the kores penalty, which is more severe than the penalty afforded or allocated to the truma violator. And that's true with the case of nida. So we see that this lacking type tefillah ba'ones is sufficient for making an allowance for a serious offense like nida, which carries with the kores penalty, then certainly it should be effective in alleviating making an allowance for the truma penalty, which is called misa. Misa is a reference to misa bidei shamayim. Misa bidei shamayim is a lesser penalty than kores. So if it's effective for besa, for nida, it certainly should be effective for truma. Omar Le, Rav Nachman responds and says, by law equals chulin hu. The issue of her allowance and association in intimacy with her husband comes under the realm of chulin. Chulin meaning the mundane. The chulin lo boi kavona. Chulin doesn't, we have no expectations for intent when immersing, when doing tevila for chulin. Truma, though, in this respect, is on a higher level. Truma is not in the realm of the mundane. And therefore, Trila Ba'ones is not sufficient. We have a diamond, and in our structural note, in the outside margin, we address the role of the diamond. You can see the diamond, and we've written there, Mino Temra, in quotation marks. That's the phrase that is featured in this particular case. Mino Temra, from where do I know? The lo bo'inon kavona betvilo lechulin. From where do I know that you don't require intent when immersing for chulin purposes? So the question is asked, and we now answer. Disnan. Gaul, a wave. Wave, like in the wave at sea. Gaul shenitlash uboar boim sa'a. There's a wave of water that, let's say, became detached from the sea. And it contains a sufficient amount of water that would be of mikveh quantity. And that's called arboim, 40 saw. Saw being a measure. 40 saw in measure. Saw is a name of a measure. V'nofal al ha'odom. And this gal, this wave of water, fell on a person, v'al ha'kelim, and on vessels, tahurim. They will achieve tahara. In other words, with the wave falling upon them, they become tor. If they had been tome, my love, Adam Dumya the Kalim. How are we to understand this source? Are we not to say that we are comparing the person's purification with that of the vessel purification? After all, they're taught together. Ma Kalim Delo Mechavni, just like vessels which are inanimate objects, don't have kavona, they don't have any intent, and yet they achieve tahara. Af odom nami lo boi kavona. So too, the person in question would not require intent. So we see from this would be an answer to the question of where do I see that for chulin you don't have to have intent. Here we have the tahara of a person who is capable of having intent and yet doesn't need to have intent, just like a vessel, as described, doesn't have intent. At this point, though, the Gemara rejects this conclusion, and we've illustrated this with a dechia marking of Dalid that you can see encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. This line will descend on the top of Omid Beis as well, five lines down from the top, showing us that this the attempt to answer that from where I know chulin doesn't need kavona from this particular source, this is not a sufficient answer. Mimai, the Gemara says, who says like we had answered. Dilma b'yoshiv v'mitzap askinan ne'im osai yit l'shagal. Maybe it's talking about a person sitting there by the edge of the water, waiting for a wave to become detached and to douse him, we'll say, with the water. So that we're introducing the element of intent. V'kelim dumya diodam. We mentioned that we were going to parallel vessels with person, so instead of saying person is parallel to vessels, rather vessels parallel to person. Ma odam de bo'ino in kavona, just like by the person where we require intent, af kelim nami de komachavin lehu odam, so to the vessels in question are vessels where the person is waiting for the water to inundate them as well. V'chitemo b'yoshev u'mitzapeh ma'ila meimor, and if you say, well, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, the case of Yoshev sitting u'mitzapeh and waiting and anticipating, you'll ask, well, that's so obvious, why do you even have to teach that? Well, we'll answer why we have to teach it. Ma'u detemo ligzer mishum chardelus shel gshamim, inami ligzer roshin otukifin, I might have thought to disallow, to prohibit this case, the wave that becomes detached, in anticipation of someone relying on a chardelus shomei gishomim. This is a flow of rainwater flowing off the side of a mountain. And the reliance upon a chardelus shomei gishomim would not be good. Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, chardelus shel gishomim, zerim shom kalech min ahar, a flow of rain flowing off a mountain, bekoach, with force, v'ein tovlin bo, and we don't do tevila in that. Tanitzav v'katav v'zeinu chibor, the fact that the water is in a flow, on a slanty flow, flowing down, the katav is a slant, the waters are not considered attached to one another, even though physically it's one stream coming down the mountain, a torrent of rainwater flowing off the mountain, but it's not in a pool. It's coming off a slant. And eino chibor, they're not viewed as halachically joined. V'lo havu mikveh darboim saw, and therefore, since they're not joined, they don't join up to create a mikveh of 40 saw, shere ein mem saw b'mokom echad, because the 40 saw are not joined together in one spot. So we might have said that the gal shenitlash should not be accepted, because if we accept that, you'll come to use a chardelus shel gishomim, which is no good. Likewise, there was room to think, don't sit there with the and anticipate the wave coming and inundating you as a mikveh, because if we allow that, you might come to use the arc of the wave, the top part of the wave, the curve of the wave in mid-air. That's what is meant by ligzo roshin. Roshin is the head, otu kifin. In other words, to ligzo the roshin, the edges, the tips, the part of the wave that hits you on the ground, which is, that's fine, but if we allow that, you might come to use the arch, the kifin, as the curved top part of the wave, and that is no good, because that's called tevila ma'avir. Komash malon de lo gazrinon. That's the significance of teaching the wave, provided you are sitting and waiting for it. In other words, we do insist on kavana. And if you'll ask, it seems obvious that if you're sitting there waiting for it, it should be all right. So to that, we answer that it's not so obvious. We just pointed out there were two circumstances that are similar in a sense that are no good. And there was room to think that we should not allow the gal shel nitlash in anticipation of these two cases of the chardelus shel gishomim or the gzeira of roshin otukifin. So we are telling you here, we don't make such a gzeira. However, we are not going to draw from this source an allowance for tevila without kavona. We have a small bracketed section. If you skip this initially, you will see the Gemara is going to come back to ask the question, well, where do you see the Baichulin you don't have to have Kavona? There the Gemara asks, right after the bracketed section, Al-Chulin de-Loboy Kavona miha min-Olon, from where do we learn that? And you can see the use of the diamond is like we did it on Omid Aleph, in our search for a source for that idea that no Kavona is required. Now, within the brackets, the Gemara focuses on the issue of the of Tevila in the arching of a wave as not acceptable. So now we turn back to the brackets. U'mino temro dolo matbelinon bekifin. From where do we learn that one is not supposed to immerse things in the arc of the wave? The arc meaning the curved part as opposed to the wave as it hits the ground. Disnan, the source says, matbilin barashin vein matbilin bekifin she'ein matbilin ba'avir, that one can tovel, can immerse in the using the edge of the wave as it hits the ground, but one is not allowed to immerse in the kifin, the arc of it, because that would be in mid air, and we're not tovel, we don't immerse things in mid air. The Gemara continues with our topic, Elachulin de Loboy Kavona Miha Minolon. From where are we to derive that immersion for chulin purposes does not require intention? Disnan, we have the following source. Peros Shenoflu Lesoch Amas Hamayim. Fruit that fell into a stream. Amas Hamayim, a stream. Uposhat Mishi Yodov Tmeos Vinotlon. And a person whose hands were Tomei, he stretched out his hands to grab the fruits in the stream, in the water. Yodov tahoros, uperos einon bechi yutan. The hands become tahor. Now, he didn't have immersion intention here. His intention was simply to catch the fruit. Yet, his hands achieve tahara. The fruit, on the other hand, is not considered b'chiyutan, means it hasn't been subjected to hechsher lekabel tuma. In general, fruits are not susceptible to the absorption of tuma, let's say upon contact with a dead sheretz or other sources that are metame, unless the fruit has been washed off, has had contact with water. Water that you intended to be there. Water that was there with some type of approval. In the case of fruits falling into the stream, he wasn't interested in the fruits falling into the stream. So he simply lunged forth and grabbed the fruits. The hands become tahor because of this idea that chulin, that the purification of the hands, which is an issue of the purification for chulin purposes, it's sufficient that they are immersed even without intention. The fruit, on the other hand, even though it had contact with the water, there was no desire for the fruit to be in the water in the first place. Hence, this water contact does not enable the fruits to become mukhshar lekabel tuma. However, the im bishvil shiyudchu yodov, if he lunged forth, let us say, to grab the fruits, and he was interested in his hands getting washed off, in other words, there was a level of happiness and approval concerning the water, insofar as the water would now will serve to wash off his hands. Well, yodov taharos uperos bechiyutan. The hands will become purified because of their being immersed in this amas hamayim, but the fruits will be bechiyutan. Bechiyutan, as we said, is an expression indicating they will now be mukhshar lekabel tuma. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form, and accompanying this, we have our mivne, our structural note in the outside margin. We feature the triangle. These are kushios al Rav Nachman yomer lechulin loboy kavona. These are questions that are posed to Rav Nachman, who represented the idea that immersion for chulin does not require intent, the intent of achieving purification. Rather, Rav Nachman tells us that the mere fact that something was immersed is enough. Eisve, Rav Rav Nachman. We have the following source. It says, Toval l'chulin, the huchsuk l'chulin, osur l'maiser. If a person immersed himself for chulin purposes and had Huchsuk means he had kavona for chulin, he had intention for chulin, this kind of immersion will not be sufficient to allow him to partake of Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is the tenth of one's produce brought during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the agricultural cycle, where the person brings his fruits to Yerushalayim and eats them there. There is a requirement of tahara, being in a state of tahara for the consumption of Meiser Sheni. So a person who had been tomei and immersed himself with chulin intentions, that's not sufficient for Meiser Sheni, which is on a higher level. Nevertheless, we see from this source, huchsuk in, if there was kavona for the chulin, then he achieves tahara for chulin. Lo huchsuk lo. But if he had no intention, he wouldn't achieve any tahara whatsoever. So this would be a problem for Rav Nachman. Hochi koma, and we respond. Thusly, the source says, afalpi shuchsuk lechulin, osur lemaiser. In general, chulin does not require intent. What the source is telling us is that even if he happened to, let's say, add a little bit, namely, he did intend for chulin, nevertheless, chulin intention is not enough for maiser. However, for chulin itself, no intention is necessary. Intention, once again, intention to achieve tahara. Esve, we raise another objection. Toval v'lo huchsuk ki'ilu lo toval. A person who immersed himself and didn't add kavona, didn't add intention, it's as if he didn't immerse himself. My lav ki'ilu lo toval klal. Is it not saying here that his immersion is as if he didn't immerse himself at all, meaning an immersion of tevilo without kavona is worthless? That again would be a kashin Rav Nachman. Loi. That's not what's being said here. Ki'ilu lo toval la meiser, aval toval lechulin. What the source was telling us, that if he immersed himself without intention, so it's useless with regard to meiser. But as far as chulin, it would be okay. That would have been Rav Nachman's response. Who, Savar, Rava, upon hearing Rav Nachman's response, thought that it was simply an attempt to dismiss Rava's question, but not a real answer. Nofak dok v'yashkach, Rava left and he investigated the issue and found a source, the Sanya, that teaches exactly what Rav Nachman mentioned. The source says, Tova v'lohuchsuk, a person who immersed himself without intention, muter l'chulin v'osur l'maiser. A tevila without intention is sufficient with regard to chulin, but not with regard to maaser. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef, leimo tevi tiufta de Rabbi Yochanan meha. Let us say that what we just learned would be a repudiation of Rabbi Yochanan. You might be wondering which Rabbi Yochanan. So if you turn back to Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph, and we ought to attempt to navigate using some markings. So you will notice on our Gemara over here on Omid Beis, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And this arrow also indicates Omid Aleph. If you then go to Omid Aleph, and notice again to the left-hand side of the Gemara text an arrow. You notice in the bottom part of the page, such an arrow, it's the left-hand side of the text, with an indicator that you're to look at Omid Beis. At that point, Rabbi Yochanan said, Af lebeisa loy tohoiro. We spoke about the nido shemen saw, this unintentional immersion, and Rabbi Yochanan said that she's not a muteris to her husband. And we said that the husband is considered in the realm of chulin. In fact, that's what Rav Nachman said. So, through Rav Nachman's understanding of Bailah as being classified as chulin, and Rabbi Yochanan saying that an unintentional tevila is not sufficient for Besa, for her husband, for intimacy, which, as we said already, is classified as chulin, now we've just learned a source that says that tevila without intention is sufficient for chulin. Therefore, that gives rise to the question that Abaye is asking. This should be a repudiation of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar lay, so Rabbi Yosef answers, Rabbi Yochanan, hu diomak Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan has a Tanaic authority upon whom he is relying when he insists on intent for chulin, the sanya. And here we have the source. The source, as you can see, is framed off, and we've underlined Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef. The topic in the source happens to deal with an immersion in the realm of tzaras. So it says, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer v'chubas ma talmud lomar shenis. The pasuk mentions a second immersion. Kubas is a washing of the clothing, but it's a washing in the context of a mikveh. So why does it say v'chubas shenis? When you look at the parsha, it's obvious. It's obvious that it's a second immersion. So the Brisa says, Makish tachbois shniyo l'tachbois rishona. The Torah compares the second immersion with the first. Ma tachbois rishona l'das, just like the first one was with das, was with intent, and that is proven by looking at psukim. The Rashi says, there it says, v'tzivo hakoin v'chibsoi. So just like the first immersion requires intent, so to the second. Ima lahalom bin das koyin, af kamin das koyin. Are you going to go with this analogy all the way and say, just like the first immersion requires the Kohen's awareness, so to the second one requires the Kohen's awareness? So to that, we answer, Talmud Lomar v'toher mikoma koyim. Taro can be achieved even without the Kohen's awareness during the second immersion. For our purposes, without any need to get into the details of the Tzoras immersion, we see that there has to be Das for this. And the Tzoras issue is in the realm of Chulin. We now have a long question. This is illustrated by the long question marking the kuf that appears to the right hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. All of the lines that are opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. Maskefer of Simi Barashi, Umiyomer Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say thusly that you need kavona for chulin? Ve'omer Rabbi Yochanan halocha kestam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that the law follows the stam, the nameless mishnah, utnan, and we learned in our mishnah, in our nameless mishnah, nofla sakin v'shochta. If a knife fell and created a shchita, afopisha shochta kedarka psula, even though an animal neck was sliced properly, nevertheless it's not good. V'havino bo, and we raised the we mentioned an inference from that source, taima denofla, the reason that it's possible is because the knife fell through gravity, hoi pilohu kshera. However, if a person threw the knife and it did a shechita, it would be acceptable. The afagav the lo michvin, even without intention for doing the shechita. The amrinon mantana de lo boy kavona l'shechita, and we asked at that point, who is the tana that doesn't require kavona with regard to slaughtering? The omar rova, Rabbi Nosson he. That's in accordance with Rabbi Nosson. So we have a nameless Mishnah and an inference drawn from the nameless Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, indicating you do not need to have intention for Shechita. Shechita is an example of something in the realm of Chulin. We're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash over here. And Rabbi Yochanan himself says that's the way to go. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan is an advocate of non-Kavona, that namely, no kavona is necessary within the realm of chulin. How is it then that Rabbi Yochanan before, when speaking about, let us say, the tevilas nida shenansa, that she is ushered to her husband on the grounds that you do require intention for chulin? The Gemara answers, b'shchita, if you're citing as an objection the topic of shchita, slaughtering, Forget about it. Afilu Rabbi Nosson ben Yosef. Even Rabbi Nosson ben Yosef, who is a stringent opinion, whom we saw above, there are little arrows we have pointing that help you find where he was cited above, even he, who does insist on intention, when it comes to Shechita, there is a leniency. Midagoli Rachmona Misasek Bekotshim Posel, from the fact that the Torah reveals that lack of intention with sacrifices is no good. Misasek is an illustration of an action without any intention. That is not acceptable in the realm of holy area, of holiness, in the realm of kodshim, of sacrifices. Oh, michlal dechulin lo boyin kavona. We can infer that when it comes to the mundane, you don't have to have kavona. So, as far as shechita is concerned, shechita is an exception. But in general, with regard to chulin, you would require intention in order to achieve tahara. Now, on Omid Aleph, we saw that was only Rabbi Nosson's opinion, that shechita can be done without kavona. Rabbi Nosson was against the Chachomim. They disagreed with him. We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with an indication to refer to Omid Aleph. So if you turn back to Omid Aleph and attempt to find along the right-hand side of the Gemara text a singular star with an Omid Beis indicator, you will see on the lower third of the page that opposite the line with the star, we see the Chachomim Poislim. The Chachomim do not allow for a Shechita done without Kavona. So here the Gemara focuses on that opinion and says, the Rabbonon who are stringent with regard to the need for intention with regard to Shechitas Chulin, Nehi Delobo Inon Kavona Lezvicha, granted that you don't require intention for accomplishing zvicha, which would mean accomplishing a slaughtering, lechaticha bo'inon, an intention for a cutting action you do need. Rav Nosson was willing to say, even without that, it's still sufficient, because Rav Nosson spoke about a person in the example we saw on Omid Aleph. He was featured a case of Zorak Saknos, because a person was throwing a knife to get it wedged into a wall. That has nothing to do with cutting. It was on that point that the Chachamim will disagree that you have to have a cutting intent, and even though you don't have to have specifically a shechita intent. Omar Rava. Rava now looks at this machlokas between Rabbi Nosson and the Chachamim and claims that Rabbi Nosson's position is a stronger position, wherein he's described as defeating the Rabbanan. Omar Rava, Beha Zachinu, Rabbi Nosson, the Rabbanan. Zachinu would mean defeated. Miksiv v'chotachto, does it say in the Pasuk that thou shalt cut? V'zavachto ksiv. The Pasuk speaks about slaughtering. And now, I bo'inon kavona l'chaticha, if you are going to say that you do have to have a cutting intention, well, v'afilu l'zvicho nami liboy, then you should go all the way, because the pasuk itself says you have to have, the pasuk describes zvicha, which is an act of slaughtering, so that if you are insisting on some level of kavona, you should really upgrade it to having intention, not just for cutting, but for the cutting accomplishing an act of slaughter. However, if like you are saying, Rabbi Nosson says to the Rabbanan, that you don't require kavona for zvicha, well then, lechaticha nami loli boy, then you shouldn't have that lesser level of intent either. In other words, you don't need to have that lesser level of intent either, because after all, the pasuk doesn't make any reference to intention for chaticha. Now the Gemara goes back to trying to understand the case with which this sugya opened, and in order to see what we're referring to, we have another reference, a cross reference marking, a double star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. If you look at Omen Aleph, and you find where that double star appeared, the parallel double star, also toward the lower part of the page, opposite the line where you saw a two dots and it said Itmar Nido Shinansa Vatovla, here the Gemara wants to know what were the circumstances of that we'll call unintentional immersion. Hechi Domi Nido Shinansa Vatovla. What is the case behind that? Ilema de Onso Chaverto Viatolo, that her friends overpowered her and threw her into the water. Well, that's not an example of lack of intention. That's kavona de chaverto, kavona malyasehi. The intention of those that put her in is considered the presence of full-fledged intention. And our sugya was describing unintentional immersion. The oid betruma nami ochla. And furthermore, if it's a case of her friends throwing her into the water, she would be allowed not only to her husband, but she would be allowed even for Truma. This non, we have the following source. Hachareshis v'sheitev asumo v'shenishrofadaito. We are describing people here that are lacking competence. The Hareshis, the deaf mute, the sheitev, the fool, the suma, the blind woman, and Feshinitfradaita, a woman who became insane, im yesh lehen pikos misaknis son, vo ochlos betruma. If they have pikos are women with knowledge, sane, normal women that can see what the state of these incompetents are. And we're talking here about women who experience, let us say, flows, like the Nida flow. And we can't rely on these incompetents themselves to determine whether they are experiencing the blood flow of the female cycle, which renders one to be Tomei. However, if there are pikhos, women of competency, together with them, they can fix them, so to speak, and ready them for Tara. Misaknas Hasan, they can ready them for immersion, and through immersing them, Ochlos Betruma. We see from here that the intention of others is sufficient to create Tara. So what is the case of the Nido Shans of a Tovla? Omar of Popo. So Rav Popo explains, the definition of Nido Shinansa will depend on the two shitos of Tanoim. The Rebbe Nosson, according to Rebbe Nosson, the case of Nido Shinansa is Shenofla min Hagesher. She fell off a bridge into water. Remember, Rebbe Nosson doesn't require intent. Even when the case of the Shechita, for example, he doesn't require intent even for cutting. So the parallel level of leniency would be falling into the water, where she didn't have any kavana, even for bathing. Ula Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, that do have a level of intent expectation, even though full-fledged intent they don't. With regard to the Shechita, for example, there is an expectation, there's an intent for cutting, even though it's not the high level of intent for accomplishing a slaughtering. So the parallel case of the Nido Shinansa, of the woman falling into the water, would be she yordo lahoker. She went into the water for cooling off purposes. So she had some intent with regard to contact with water, even though it wasn't an intent for achieving Tara. So those are those would be the definitions of Nido Shinansa. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic, and we have a topic heading accompanying this. In the outside margin, we've written Shchitas Pora Adumo Yachad im Shchitas Behemo Acheres, the slaughtering of a Pora Aduma, together with, at the same time, slaughtering simultaneously another animal. Before getting into the Gemara, we have a little note accompanied by this star in the margin, He'ora. Be'Pora Aduma yeshnei psulim. There are two disqualifying factors in the case of Pora Aduma that we should denote. One, melocha acheres. If one, while slaughtering a paraduma, performs another act at the same time, that will render the paraduma unfit. Now, this concept of malocha acheres is so if he has intention for that other act. An example of that would be that while he is slaughtering the paraduma, there's a, let's say, a pumpkin right next to the animal's neck, and he figures, well, I'm doing a slicing action on the animal for its slaughtering, I might as well slice the pumpkin at the same time. That would be an example of malocha acheres. That is a problem provided he has intention for that other action. There's another situation called v'shachat oisa. That's really the pasuk, where the pasuk says you shall slaughter it, and there is an exclusionary aspect to that, namely, and we've written this in, v'lo oisa v'chaverta, and one is not to slaughter the paraduma and another animal. What we will be focusing on as part of our discussion is that if one is slaughtering the paraduma and there happens to be another animal next to it, and as you are slaughtering the paraduma, you just happen, without intention, you just happen to slaughter another animal. That will figure in our discussion. The Gemara will cover more cases than just that, but that now we turn to the Gemara. As we continue, though, we should just remind ourselves of the opinions of Rabbi Nosson and the Rabbonon with regard to what constitutes an acceptable shechita. With regard to Rabbi Nosson, an acceptable shechita, Rabbi Nosson had a very lenient approach, namely, even without shechita intention, even without cutting intention, a shechita is accomplished. Now, that may be a lenient approach when you're looking at shechita itself in isolation. However, if you take that very same opinion and attach it to our case of shechita of a paraduma, it may very well turn out that it represents an opinion of stringency. Namely, the paraduma might become ruined because of this simultaneous shechita being accomplished. Now, the Gemara, Omar Rava. Shochat pora v'shochat b'macheres ima. A person was shechting a paraduma and intentionally shechted another animal simultaneously. L'divrei hakol psula, according to all opinions, Rabbi Nosson and the Rabbanan, the paraduma will be rendered unfit. This is a psul known as malocha acheres. Now another case, Nishchata behema acheres ima. He was shechting a paraduma, and another animal, a common cow, was lying right next to the paraduma, and it happened to get slaughtered at the same time, without kavona. Le Rebbe Nosson, according to Rebbe Nosson, that values this kind of shechita with regard to the behema, the result is as follows: Pora psula behema kshera. The paraduma will be ruined based on what we said before, the gzeres hakosuv, which we said was v'shochat osa, was osa velo chaverta. So, but you did a chaverta, so that ruins your paraduma. The behema itself, the other mundane animal, it's okay because it's a shechita with, even though it lacked intention, but according to Rabbi Nosson, that's fine. L'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, on the other hand, a shechita without intention is nothing. Therefore, as far as malocha acheres is concerned, there's no psul of malocha acheres. As we said in our introduction, malocha acheres is a problem only if you have intention for that other action. Like in our previous example, you have intention for cutting the pumpkin. Here he had no intention for the other animal's neck getting cut. So, as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, just to review this point, there's no malocha acheres problem, and there's no v'shochat oso sovelo chaverta problem, because it's not a good shechita. So the Rabbanan, poro ksheira, the poro aduma is not affected. Behema psula, the behema shechita is ineffective. The Gemara asks regarding Rava Pshita. Everything that was just said is information that on our own we could have figured out. So the Gemara says, I need the point in the second case with regard to Reb Nosson to have been stated. Nishchata Behemo Acheres the Rebbe Nosson, the case, we called case 2 at the top of the page, that case was needed within Rebbe Nosson. Let's read that again. Nishchata Behemo Acheres the Rebbe Nosson, it's Tericha Lei. That case was necessary. Sa'kadaita Chamino, without Rava teaching us this Gemara, I would have thought that the intention of the pasuk when it says v'shochat osa omar rachmona v'lo osa v'chaverta, that idea v'heichidomi, what is that? What would I have thought without Rava? Kagon sheshochat shtei porois badi adodi. Without Rava, I would have thought that Gezeras HaKosef is referring to a different case. It's referring to someone shechting two Pora Adumos together, and that's the only thing the Torah objected to. Avo Behema de Chulin Emelo. But shechting a common animal, a Chulin animal, together with the Pora Aduma would not have posed any problem. Komash Malon, that's what Rava is communicating to us in presenting these cases. That the Gzeres HaKosov of a Shochat Osah, which is a limitation, Osah V'lo Chaverta, includes the shechting of a mundane animal as the shechting even without it, we're talking here about with Nishchato Be'im Acheres, will in fact render the Pora Aduma Psula, that a Shechitas Chulin also is a problem. Two more cases. Since up till now we featured the cases of Shochat Behema Acheres and Nishchata Behema Acheres, here we're going to go to the vegetable case. We'll call it the pumpkin case. Chotach Dalas Imo, while shechting a Pora Aduma, he intentionally cuts a pumpkin. Divrei HaKol Psula, everyone will agree that the Pora Aduma is rendered unfit. That's on the grounds of the Psul Melocha Acheres. The second point, nechtechod la'asima, if while he is cutting the, or shechting the paraduma, there happened to be a pumpkin right next to the paraduma, and it got cut, no intention. Divrei HaKol Kshera, everyone will agree, even the chachamim will agree, that the paraduma is not ruined. And the reason for this is, as far as the Gzeres HaKosov v'shochat osah v'lo chaver, that doesn't apply here, because that was a Gzeres HaKosov within the realm of a simultaneous shchita of something else. Here we're talking about a pumpkin. The only other problem would be the psul of melocha acheres. That problem of simultaneous secondary activity taking place doesn't pose a problem when there was no intent. And in this case, there was no intent for the cutting of the pumpkin. It just happened to be lying there, and he noticed that while he was doing the shechita, the pumpkin just happened to get cut. Therefore, the psul of melach acheres is not a problem, and therefore everyone will agree that the shechita of the parah aduma is acceptable. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.